Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, man. I thought we had spring up until the weekend.
Man.
Sunday morning. It was a mess, man.
Man.
It's Michigan weather, dog.
I went outside because I posted one up to see something, I think, on Sunday. I posted one to see some AAU games. I was like, I'm going to go at about 1 o'clock. I stayed at home.
No, roads were treacherous, man.
Man, we talking about looked like February.
Yes, it was.
Beginning of February, Tony.
Yeah, because I had talked to some people that did make the trip, and they said they were caught unexpected coming back, which made for a very long trip back after that snow because the roads were just horrible. With that wet, heavy snow. So, but hopefully that's it. Now we can get on to spring and get this March Madness over with. Well, April now in the NBA. Finished off the college, now we're NBA, but we got some local stuff that's on our docket.
Oh, yeah. First, we got to give a shout-out to the man in charge, PA, Paul Allen Billings. He just received the City Gives Out Outstanding Citizen Award to 103.7 The Beat founder, Paul Allen Billings. I mean, that's big time, man.
Yes, it is, in this community.
Yep, so I got the article. It says, Muskegon, Michigan, and it actually came out today, like 2 minutes ago, from West Michigan of West Africa to West Africa, Muskegon resident Paul Allen Billings has made it his mission to help people in need. In honor of his efforts as a community advocate and philanthropist, Billings was given this year's Outstanding Citizen Award. Billings, 51, is a former Michigan Department of Corrections officer and the founder and general manager of 103.7 The Beat Radio. Each year, the city partners with the Muskegon Rotary Club to recognize distinguished residents for acts of service that exemplify selflessness and overcoming hardships to improve other qualities of life. Nominated citizens must be the City of Muskegon residents or people who have undertaken action that directly impact the city. Billings was awarded the honor for his work locally with the West Michigan Community Help Network, a group he founded in 2001. His overseas efforts to bring in clothing, school supplies, and educational materials to people of Ghana, West Africa began 5 years ago. Paul Allen Billings said, the Outstanding Citizen Award is overwhelming. Honestly, I started crying when I found out because my mother recently died in February, Billings said. Everything I am and what I wanted to be is because of her. To get this honor is something she would have been proud of. Through West Michigan Community Help Network, Billings have helped coordinate food drive, job fairs, concerts, community concerts, and mentorship programs. The organization's mission is to help educate, inform, and empower young people and adults about issues affecting their lives in Muskegon area and beyond. Billings said he founded the organization to help his community see itself as a positive force for good. He credits his impact of the October 16, 1995 Million Man March as a source of inspiration. The radio station was created soon afterwards as an arm of nonprofit to more effectively communicate with the people he hoped to inspire and serve. I mean, it's more about it, but I mean, it's just, PA is the man, I would say, and I mean, we're speaking from a vision right now.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, right? That's it. He gives us a platform to talk about finances, to grow our entrepreneurship arm and nonprofit arm in our community, and I mean, without PA, we wouldn't have our voice.
Absolutely, man. Just give us an opportunity to let the community know what kind of things are affecting their lives from a financial standpoint, credit, debt, and actually current events.
Yeah, current events. I mean, and that's Paul Allen Billings is just the man. I can't even say no more about it. And just, I mean, it's just, I can make a whole show about PA. I could do that. So I just want to give it a shout out. It's on MLive. When you get it, you see it, share it. You know, just share it because we need to highlight our people even more. I mean, this is an outstanding award. We're talking about 17 years of having an African-American, black-owned radio station in a community.
Okay.
That's really not just radio. We're talking about everything that the community needs. He's here for it.
Yeah, so he's touched a lot of lives. You know, he does a lot of things behind the scenes that he actually don't get credit for. I mean, even in the county building, you know, he brings out the district attorney.
That's right.
You know, cuff judges. Just all walks of life, man. He has given them a platform in which to reach the community to explain to them, you know, what are some of the things that we are doing in order to make this a better community. So you're right, man. Big ups to PA. He's our guy.
Yep. The other day, I mean, we got somebody else that's in sports. The other day I was looking at articles and I saw Jarvis Walker from Muskegon. He made first team All-State, Detroit Free Press.
That's huge, man. Think about it.
I like this guy. Think about it. He missed 8 games this season.
Okay.
Still averaged 19 points. I think the team went 14-1. Transferred from another school.
Had to sit out.
Walked right in and showed everybody that I rise to the occasion.
Yeah. And class act, man. The kid is – I was at the school the other night for a meeting, and it was like 6 o'clock in the evening, and I heard somebody in the gym.
Shooting on a gun.
He was in the gym, man, working out. Could have been at home, you know. Yep. But, no, he is working on his craft. So, again, outstanding young man, and I think there's a lot of good things that await him. And for sure next year, because he's only a junior.
Yep.
Another year to go. And when you think about the hundreds of schools, thousands of players in the Detroit metro area, the Lansing area, the Grand Rapids area, and out of 5 guys, you pick one from West Michigan?
From Muskegon.
From Muskegon? From outstanding.
I call it, you pick one from Mosquito.
Mosquito. Yes, little old bitty Mosquito.
That's right. That's what they call us. So you pick somebody from Mosquito that did it.
Oh,
but
man.
Like you said, his work ethic in the article talked about him shooting, getting 500 makes a day, doing several other things. But then what I want to just give kudos is to that family. I think they got some type of cheat code in their house or something.
Oh, really?
It's got to be something in their refrigerator. It's got to be some mantra that they do in the mirror. It's got to be like a portal that they had their kids or something that the Jarvis's, his father and his mother's doing. That's
okay.
Like, drink this potion and you will be an excellent student.
And athlete, right.
Community person. Drink this and you will be this. So, I mean, because it don't happen not once with the father. Now happened twice with the mother being in the Hall of Fame at Ferris. Then happened a third time with his other sister, Jasmine. Then you got, she's an all-time rebounder, 1,000 rebounds at Western. Then you got Jasmine being Miss Basketball. I mean, Jordan being Miss Basketball. Then you got her brother that's stepping right into that same arena.
Isn't that amazing?
So I just want to give, and this is an African-American family audience that knows the prestige, that's educated, and that's taking their kids to a whole other level. I would love that though. The ISD need to approach them, Tony,
okay,
on a level and ask them, would they do a seminar or something on how to make a successful athlete and family?
Mm-hmm.
Just period. I mean, we need to hear
it's
that.
It's a great story to be told.
Yeah, I think that need to be in a book and a manual. So it's like, and some people are like, why are you doing this, Chauncey? I'm like, no, when you see success, you have to commend it and you have to congratulate it.
Man, we have seen a lot of stellar athletes, right, come through these halls of Muskegon.
But a whole family, though.
Okay, but now we're talking about a whole family that's doing it the right way. It's yep. not about, you know, having probation officers involved. It's not about having child protective services involved and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's like it's the two family, right? Parent, two parent household.
Educated.
And educated, and they've set the bar, and they continue to support and push their children to be great student athletes. Don't forget that part because that's huge.
That's because we also enlisted
National Honor Society.
Yep, enlisted his GPA as 3.92.
Pretty
college
good.
Prep courses. Now he don't have no remedial classes. He's on slate to be. He's already have 2 offers already. So from mid majors. So when that Detroit Free Press hit, I know it's to another level now. So you got the Easterns, Michigan States. Everybody
they coming.
Hey, can I come to a practice? What's this kid look like? And then when you see him in a uniform, you're gonna be like, what? How old is he? What does he eat?
He's got chisels, man.
Yeah, he look like a rock.
Know? And, of course, you know, the football coaches is going after him, too, because they looking at this kid and said, man, we can put him anywhere on the field and he would be outstanding.
Yep.
And I happened to see him and the quarterback, Cameron.
Yes, sir.
The other day together. And I thought, okay, that might be a reason why he may play football. But
that's
we'll
right.
see. That remains to be seen. But, again, another great, great story about student-athletes attending Muskegon High School.
Yeah. So, it's just, man, it's just looking good. And I just wanted to highlight those two people. That's 2 men in our community.
Well-deserving.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, NBA playoffs going on. Watching them.
A few surprises out of the gate.
Oklahoma being down 0-2
okay.
to a team that they usually just beat on all the time. Damon Lillard has took it up to another level.
Okay.
Yep. So.
Yeah, and then we had the Philly laid an egg in their first game. They did rebound in the second game.
They did.
Toronto, same thing.
Yep, rebound.
You know, these first-round games aren't supposed to be this difficult. You know, these favorites are supposed to go in and basically take them out.
and handle business.
Right.
So another team that really laid the egg was your I know me and you Detroit fans, we getting blasted right now.
Right.
But when you look at but when you look at somebody that's supposed to expected to do something like Golden State, they was up 31.
Ooh. No one seen it coming. This is in the second half, man.
31, and then two rookies.
Rookies, Lou Williams.
And then you got Lou Williams coming off the bench, the best player in the series so far, him and Curry.
Had no answer for him, man.
Yeah, they don't got no answer for him.
So third game is going to be very interesting, right? Yep.
Now we go to L.A. now.
Yeah. Yeah, we go to L.A.
For the blue-collar L.A. fans.
So we're not talking about the L.A. team.
We're not talking about Showtime. We're not talking about Hollywood. We're talking about somebody that got a job, probably at the Coney Island coming to the game. A working man coming.
That's right.
That's what they call themselves. They say we the blue-collar team.
We the blue-collar team, right. And we know who the, not necessarily the GM, but the advisor of the L.A. Clippers is, the Jerry West.
The Laker.
Yep, so interesting dynamics that's going on in basketball and the NBA right now, man.
We would love to have Jerry West back too, though.
Yeah, I think they would, but I doubt very seriously at this point in his career. He may. You never know. You know, Luke got another job already. He got picked up by Sacramento, man.
It took 5 minutes.
5 minutes, man. He was gone. And you know what? It was probably a relief, right?
Yes, sir.
He said, man, I need to get out. And his dad did tell him, don't you take that job in L.A., man.
The expectation is too high for
– it's too high, man.
That for being a losing organization.
Yep. 3 years.
Yep.
They finished under 500.
And then 5 years they haven't made the playoffs. So it's like they don't want to give you 3 years to build a program.
Nope.
But Sacramento is ripe.
Ripe. Young talent, low expectations.
Yes, right.
All you got to do.
Great fan base.
Great fan base. That's all they got in Sacramento for the most part. You know, all you got to do is play for that eighth spot. They just want to get to the playoffs. They're not looking for a championship right away. If he can get to the eighth spot, the season has been a success and no pressure.
Exactly right.
So they're going to get a. They might wind up with a lottery pick as well right now. Okay? So. I really believe that was a relief for Walton to get out of L.A. and move on. And I think he'll be okay.
Yep. Last on sports, you got Zion declared for the draft also.
Okay. Yeah. I know someone told me that he was not going to declare because he wanted to win a championship with his college team. And it's like, okay, that sounds good. But when you start doing the numbers, when you start hitting that calculator.
And your shoe bus in the game.
It's like. Do you really want to do this, or do you want to do this?
When you look at the economics of it, that's what, man. I would say. Because if your shoe busting the game and everybody fighting over your talent to be endorsed you for a sports or athletic deal that could possibly be probably $150 million.
Yeah, they expect him to be the number one guy as far as shoe sales are concerned at this point in his rookie year. Man. So the financials basically says you need to declare for the draft, get paid. I mean, you know, they always buy these Lloyd of London's insurance policies in case you blow out a knee, tear Achilles, or whatever, that will pay you. But those policies won't pay you nearly the money that you would get.
Your potential.
From your shoe deal as well as the contract that you receive in the NBA. So very smart move, financial decision, which it should be, and needs to go get paid to play. And we would be remiss if we walked off this mic and didn't talk about Tiger Woods
winning
the Masters, man.
You know what? I'm telling you the best part. Because I know you love some golf. I'm gonna say my little tidbit.
Every minute of it, man.
I'm going to say my tidbit. That I called him Kobe. When Tiger Woods got on the scene, they modeled his image after Kobe and Michael Jordan. Nike did.
Like,
we need him. But then he had a withdrawn personality.
Yeah.
So it made it hard for him. But they did do a video before he won anything, and they made a video about everybody, all the doubters, and had him looking at them say, he never win another one.
Right. Never win another one, man. They even replayed it on the radio the other day on Stephen A. Smith's show. It was about all the naysayers, right?
Yes, sir.
But this is the real deal here is the TV networks understood when Tiger was in his heyday, the kind of ratings they had, the kind of fan participation they had, the galleries they had, the money that was coming into golf. And when he fell off, they also seen the Tiger effect in reverse where people wasn't playing as much, they wasn't watching as much, and the sport took a hit, right? But Nike stuck with him, right?
Yes, sir.
Nike said, "No, you're still our guy." So this is a result of a guy that just was determined to come back after numerous surgeries, back fusions, knee surgeries, but was driven to win again. There's a story about an individual that walked into a Las Vegas casino.
That's how it's going to get to.
Laid down $85,000 on a 14-1 bet that Tiger would win the Masters.
Wait, 1.9 or 1.4, I think?
He walked away with $1.4 million. You know how old the guy was? 29 years old.
He wouldn't have got a mortgage or something. He wouldn't have got that money.
Man, I don't know, but $85,000, when you make a bet like that, $85,000 means that you didn't need it.
That's right, and you solid.
Okay, but I planned this hunch, and I got $85,000 to throw away.
Well, this actually didn't come up. You're a millionaire now. Thank you, Tiger.
Probably a millionaire anyway, but yeah. Still. But I thought that was a unique story, that he had this much confidence in Tiger. So, hey, come on, Tiger. If you don't win another major tournament, you have made all your fans happy.
You the man.
By coming back and winning the most prestigious golf tournament in the world.
That'll buy you 4 more years, Tiger.
In the Masters. So
it'll buy you 4 more years, that tournament right there, 4 to 5. Really 10 more years.
Yeah.
You got 10 more years in career.
And Nike is happy. Because most people, I would like to see what the orders were on Monday for people that was ordering Nike gear, Nike clubs.
Oh, because it's season. It's y'all Nike season that. Right now.
Yeah, we're getting ready to gear up. Okay.
Tiger polos.
Yeah.
T-Wood polos out there.
Them red polos. Yeah. It's Sunday red.
Hey, but I saw one outfit, and we'll get into the show. I saw one outfit where a guy had on a Tiger's mugshot.
Oh, I seen that as he was walking down the gallery.
That's right.
And he looked at that mugshot, and it's like, yeah, okay, whatever you say. You got that right. He said, but I'm going to be still the face on Sports Illustrated. It'll be a different look.
Wow.
Getting paid.
Yep. So what we got today, we got, it says, here's what, because we got a campaign coming up for 2020, yeah. Presidential 2020. Campaign. And I thought about the issues that was important to our community at large, or when I'm dealing with people, when I'm dealing with clients, I notice this is prevalent in almost everybody.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have them, your kids have them, or a relative have them. It says, here's what the 2020 presidential candidate say about your student loans. And I was like, okay.
Well, give us some idea where we're at currently with this student loan situation in this country.
Here it goes. It says, according to the latest student loan debt statistics, there are more than 44 million borrowers who collectively owe $1.5 trillion in student loan debt.
Trillion, man. I mean, there's countries don't have that in their gross national product, okay? And here we got that much in student loans in this country.
So it says, from looking at a personal finance standpoint, it says it's the second highest consumer debt category. Only second to this, Tony. Mortgages and higher than credit card debt and auto loans.
That's big time, man.
So that means after mortgages, you got student loan debt.
Student loan.
Then you got credit card debt, then auto loans. Those are the industries that run this country. But then here it goes, though. Here's the tidbit here. By 2023, 40% of the student loan borrowers may default on their student loans because, see, they got the education already. But then they trying to get a car, trying to get a house,
okay.
And trying to live like they're trying to live. But inflation is getting them. But then now they got student loans. Something got to give somewhere.
So if you take that number, you say 40%, and just yes. For the clear mathematics, we'll just divide it by 50. We say almost 50% of the $1.5 trillion, right?
It's going to default.
It's going to be default. That is a huge sum of money, man, that is uncollected debt.
So what I have is today is on how some of these presidential candidates have weighed in on the future of our higher education and how to manage growing student loan debt and how to pay off student loans faster. So this is a list of people, not all the candidates included trying to run for president, but it's a good chunk of people and how and their position on student loans and what they expect on what to release in their policy proposals. You know, you got to have a student loan plan. You got to have an auto plan. You got to have a mortgage plan.
Healthcare.
Right. Healthcare.
Economy, yep. Military,
all that.
There's a lot of things that you got
to do. Defense plan. So this is one of the categories that they have to be able to say, hey, this is my stance on this. Yeah. Please vote for me.
Yep.
So I don't care what's going on, audience. You still hold the power and who gets in place. Now, you got to think about it. If student loans are second, you need to be really figuring out what their policy is. So our first candidate is Pete Buttigieg. And he says he is the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. And this is what he believes. The cost of education should be lowered, but he does not believe in free college. Okay? He says states should play more active role in covering tuition costs of students, and there should not be widespread student loan debt cancellation given the cost. There should be more discussion regarding student loan debt forgiveness, student loan refinancing, and income-driven repayment. Now,
he missed the mark for me.
Yeah, he did, because I think it should be student loan cancellation. I really do, because you pay so long, the interest killing you already. It's compounded, the eighth wonder of the world, Tony. And okay. you got $100,000 in student loans, and your interest collecting every day, and it's 5%, 6%, and they killing you. So, like, what, just kill me for 10 years then.
Okay. And, what, I mean, they had the America's Promise, right?
Yes, sir.
If you go into work and you go into areas, urban areas that are depressed and in poverty, you know, you'll all be forgiven.
Yeah, they forget. I worked on that program.
That's good.
Yep.
And that's loan debt cancellation.
That's it. But then you giving a service back to our country.
So,
like veterans, said, they get loan forgiveness.
Okay.
People that put their time in. And then when you first work your job the first 5-10 years, you already know, you talk to me about this. You don't make the most money until you start getting in your 40s. The most of your income, your chunk of it.
Absolutely.
Until you get in your 40s.
Average person.
So then you start, and that's when your, if you've really been saving for 10 to 15 potential. Years, your earning potential and your investments start hitting that where it start looking double. You're like, oh, every time I put some money in, it's doubling. So it's like, let me get a benefit in my first 10 years as an employee to get my student loans gone.
Right. Now by I'm paying. Concentrating on building for my future.
And then if I build for my future, that means if I invest, so after I pay my student loans off, let's look at this. When you look at most mutual funds, they go what? Securities, right?
Oh, yeah.
Then they go auto industry, right? They go mortgages, right? Yep, they go right. Credit cards. You can invest in credit cards.
Okay, yeah.
So all that. So then, because that's consumer debt you invested in. So once you pay off your student loans, now you can say, look, I'm going to buy a house. Then I'm going to put some money in my retirement plan, IRA and all this. Well, that's you helping the country out again.
There you go, man. It's easy. Not that difficult.
So the next candidate, what she says is Kamala Harris. Her name's been in a lot. She's a senator from California. And, you know, a lot of times the people from California run, they're like, oh, here go these alternative people. So let's see what she says. She believes college should be student loan debt-free and supports Debt-Free College Act. Okay, that's that community college. Education should be free.
At least
the first 2 years. They say student loan refinancing should be available through the federal government.
Why? Because it's a nonprofit, okay, versus being done by banks, credit unions, which are for profit. Federal government would do that refinancing through the federal government.
And then you already know how the bank going to do. Certain banks going to redline you and keep certain people out. That's why it's programs like I do, because it's like, oh, we're not gonna give you forgiveness. You're like, well, I do this job. I've been teaching this long. Well, we're not going to do it for you.
Right.
I share something like that with DeVos right now. They say they only are approving like 3% of people if you go through the government.
3%. That's nothing.
That's nothing. So you can't even get approved for a program. So then you got to come along with an alternative program to fight for you like an attorney, because you missing out on years when they don't approve you. Next, it says students should be protected from, like you said, for-profit colleges that engage in predatory practices. Let's name a couple. I'm going to give you the first name. Trump University.
Trump University.
Not around no more. He running for president again. Trump University. I'm not against him, but he
was on the list. When they made the list, they fried. ITT Tech, all these guys was in the same boat, man.
And that's what DeVos is still not forgiving those people.
No.
That's crazy.
Obama said we need to forgive those predatory loans for those students because they really got nothing for it. And then they turn around, and it's strange that somebody on his administration would be in a position to take that off the table. Now, but that's what it is.
Hers is better than Pete's. She got Pete beat. Pete, she got you beat. So already,
I like that.
I'm feeling her. She a Democrat like you. I'm feeling hers. This is my opinion. Like you say, PA say, we're not trying to make no political swing. This is my opinion. Yep. It's not the personal views of the radio station. So there y'all go. I'm just liking what she said because I got student loans and I live my life, and I just know what it's like. Next person, it says Christina Gillibrand is a U.S. senator from New York. She believes that borrowers should be able to refinance student loans through the federal government to a 4% interest rate. I like that.
Yep, to a 4, some could be less.
Yeah, that's
but,
good.
But 4 is the max.
Yep. The public service loan program should be accessible to more borrowers and less administratively burdensome. Now, like I just said, if you just go through the government, because I get people, I do it myself. They overcharge them. They make them wait it out. They make them prove stuff. And then pretty soon, they don't even qualify.
Right.
So then now they stuck. Then they go in default. So nobody don't get no money. Then their taxes get taken away. So you're like, man, the government didn't do it for me. I'm not paying nobody to do it. So then now you get stuck. And then now you get your taxes taken away up to $10,000 if you're getting big old income tax returns like that.
Yeah.
So they take it all. So the last thing she says, borrowers should be able to auto-enroll in income-driven repayment plans. Now, that takes so long. They said, we're going to contact you in 30 days after we look over this.
I'm like, find out where your income had to decide where you should be at in this repayment plan.
So then you got to submit pay stubs, W-2s, tax records. They want to, they're going to give you a full probe.
And it goes contrary to what she just said in the first statement.
That's right.
Administratively burdensome.
Yep, that's it. So she wanted to get it away from the administration and get it where it's easier, where somebody can submit a document and it can be scanned and say, all right, this fit that. They got all the criteria. It should be like, all right, you here, but in 30 days, if something come up wrong, we're going to reevaluate you again. Right. Here's your new payment.
Should be done in one day.
Yep, should be done in one day. She's right. Now, everybody got something good, though, I've been seeing. Everybody one that I agree with. So here's our Bernie Sanders.
Old Bernie.
Bernie. I'm going to say this, or somebody might be in a coffin, but I ain't be the president.
Bernie Mac.
Man, he's a good guy, but man, he pushing age.
He's up there, man.
He's up there. So it says he's from Vermont. He believes that college should be free for certain families earning below $125,000. Now, see, look, he always say the good stuff, man. I mean, hey, I'm rolling with him.
College for All Act is what he calls it.
Yep. Then they say community college should be free for all students. I like that. I like that right there, Tony, because now you can lock somebody into a career where they possibly could be a homeowner, and it's a trade or it's a skill they gain, and now they can make between $20, $30 an hour with a two-year education.
Absolutely.
For free. Absolutely. No debt.
That's great.
And it says federal student loan interest rates should be lower, and the federal government should not make a profit on student loans. I think they should. I do personally. Because you can't just make everything free.
True. Okay.
You know, you can't make everything free, Tony. You know that. You got a business, right?
Oh, yeah.
And somebody tell you, oh, Tony, I know you charge this much. Take $2 from me. You really charge $500.
No.
Look out for your boy, Tony. No. Do it for free.
And it's like stock market. I don't want to invest my money in the stock market. And they tell me that you got no return coming. Whoa, no. That defeats the purpose. So I got to have a return coming.
Yeah, it's
man.
A business. So I got to, the government has to make something. Student loan refinancing should be revamped to help save money for more borrowers. Yeah, okay. I think it should be.
Okay.
So when you refinance, it should give you the benefit where the refinance come to you, the benefit, not to the company that's getting your paperwork. Because they made a lot of money off the interest already.
Yep.
So next person, we got Elizabeth Warren.
She's from Massachusetts. Okay. Yep.
Massachusetts. New England area, right?
Oh, yeah. Vermont, Massachusetts. There's a little theme going on there.
She says she believes student loan refinance should be provided by the federal government. Okay. I can live with that because that is being controlled. Public service loans forgiveness should expand to all federal student loans, not only direct loans.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yep, because that cut out that private lender. That be keeping people where they can't refinance those.
Right.
And the interest rate be high. The federal government should not make money on student loans. Everybody's starting to ask. Why are they starting to say that?
I don't know. I think they're saying that just to make a compromise to say, okay.
To get in.
We'll compromise with a low interest loan. We'll go from we don't make any money to where we'll go 3%, 4%.
But then that's become, you're right.
So it bounces negotiating. It
out. Yeah, but then when you look at it, it's almost looking like they want to make it go to the capitalists. Like what they said, we got to make money off of it if we get it to this company.
Yeah.
Now, somebody going to make some money, make a living wage, I think. That's okay. If you provide a job for somebody, I'll take that.
Right.
You
got
to
be employed.
When you privatize it and then somebody getting millions and billions, and they're like, I'm rich off the student loan industry. No, we don't want to go to that.
Nope.
Next person is Amy. Amy is a senator from Minnesota, from the Midwest. She's from our area.
Mm-hmm.
And she says Pell Grants should be expanded. Oh, amen. I'm sorry. Amen. I like that. Pell Grant. That's the ones that get forgiven quick. That's best. That's when Bill Clinton was in. I like the Pell Grant. I benefit off the Pell Grant. They forgave $22,000 of my Pell Grant. And I went in, I maxed the Pell Grant.
Okay.
I got like $5,000 every year. And I had a scholarship that paid everything. It got my books, Tony. It paid for my living. And I had a little work study job where I only worked in the gym in the Breslin 10 to 15 hours a week, and that Pell Grant saved a day. Because you're in college, Tony, you only need about $7,000 to $5,000 in your pocket every 4 months when all your bills paid.
True.
That stretch. That $500 a month and you on campus and everything paid for, man, you living good. You got three square meals, you got gas in your car. You're not driving your car every day.
No,
Pell Grant came through, and I worked in a field where I can get forgiven. It helped me out. Community college should be free. Borrowers should be able to refinance through the federal government and receive a lower interest rate. That's what you said.
Okay. Yep.
And students should not have college for free for 4 years degrees. No, they shouldn't. You should be able to pay at least two years.
Agree with that.
Get it free for 2 years.
I'm with that.
Yep. Next person, we got Cory Booker. He says debt-free college degree and greater access to college for low income. Now, you can't make it a free-for-all now, because I can tell you this, that happened. And we'll get ready to start. We'll try to continue this next week. This happened a couple years ago when Obama made everybody go back to school, get a new trade, learn something.
Okay.
They put out loans, Tony, right? It got people that was going to school, that was in the drug trade. They were getting the grant money, going to sell dope. They going to, I'm gonna tell it.
Okay.
You know, they trying to flip it, not even going to class. Like, I got me a student loan, man. I'm a student. I'm like, you don't look like a student, man. You look like you in something else. So that kind of hurt the industry right there. So Booker, I can't go with that.
Okay.
Everybody can't get it. Like, if you from the hood, everybody can't get it for free. You got to have some grades. You got to show me. You got to be some certain criteria.
I agree.
You can get this money. Predatory lending of student loans must be stopped.
I agree.
And a free application for federal financial aid or FAFSA form should be made simpler. Yes, he's right. That's like, man, that's like a biography.
Yeah.
You done did it for your kids. I know you have. You
I had
accountant.
To do it when I was in school, man.
Yep. So should we say public loan forgiveness as well as student loan refinancing should be expanded to more borrowers. So we're gonna stop there today, and we'll continue next week. But I want to share the scripture that I have, and it's called The Law of Supply, and it's out of the book Good for Nothing, Trust God with the Least. It says, X, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew chapter 7:7. And I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success. 103.7 The Beat.
Thanks, PA.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, PA. I mean, we can't do it without you, brother. Love you. And just keep on doing what you're doing. We're gleaning from you.